This podcast is produced in stereo, and you are going to get more of the effect if you, beautiful listener, listen to this podcast with headphones. Don't forget to smash them 5 stars on this podcast. Welcome to Under the Stairs.
Hey, hello.
A podcast that is brimming with gruesome true crime events.
Oh my god.
Paranormal encounters and more weird, wonderful and bizarre things that the world will bring. Yo, and welcome back to Under the Stairs. I just want to apologise firstly for my voice sounding a little bit groggy. Why? Because the pollen at the moment is really, really kicking my ass. The past few days, maybe a week or so, yes, the plants, the grass, you are really beautiful, but you really do kind of hurt my face. So can we kind of tone down the pollen a little bit? But still, I have a beautiful episode here for you guys. The story that we'll get into very shortly is about a killer from the UK, and he was convicted of murdering a 33-year-old prostitute 30 years after he was previously cleared of the crime. Yes, if you know, then you know. If you don't, well, you're going to find out about that guy. Now, firstly, as always, I have found 5 beautifully weird and bizarre ways that people have died. So, let's go. And number 1, August 7th in 1997, at a beach in Buxton, North Carolina, Daniel Jones decided to dig an 8-foot deep hole in the sand and sit at the bottom. What a great idea, Daniel. Then the hole obviously collapsed on this guy, trapping him underneath. Now, several beachgoers attempted to dig him out, but it wasn't an easy job. It was only until heavy equipment was brought in that he was freed, by which time was just too late, and Daniel died of digging an hole too big and... silly idea, Daniel. Number 2. Paul Stiller and his wife, on September 30th, 1996, were bored and intoxicated. To cure their boredom, they decided to go for a midnight drive. Great idea. With a couple sticks of dynamite. Ah, why? Why is this happening right now? Their brilliant idea was to light the dynamite and throw it out the window. Yes, great idea, everybody. Let's go. Let's do this now. However, due to them being just completely obliterated by alcohol, they forgot to roll down the car windows. Now, this incident killed Paul and put his wife in critical condition. This is probably the most dumbest one I have read out on the podcast. Rest in peace, Paul. Number 3. Jonathan Capewell from Oldham in England became obsessed with smelling fresh and would cover his entire body in deodorant at least twice a day. He died July 28th, 1998, from a heart attack after deodorant gases built up in his body over months of repeatedly spraying himself in his unventilated bedroom. Now, Jonathan, we all want to smell fresh, my brother, but seriously, this one makes it into the weird pile. Number 4. David Grundman, in 1982, fired several close-range shots with his shotgun at a saguaro cactus. The cacti, which stood 26 feet at all. Oh my days, that is damn high. Now this dropped a 4-foot branch on top of this guy's head, ultimately crushing him to death. Grundman's death is immortalized in a song, which is written by a Texas band, the Austin Lounge Lizards, called Sagura. Search it up, people. Let's have a listen to that one. But to be honest, that must have really, really hurt. Imagine a 4-foot cactus branch. I mean, them things are thick, they're very spiky, and that would have really hurt. Maybe. I probably think it would have, actually. And number 5. On October 17th in 1814, the Muxen Company Brewery had a huge vat of beer erupt and rush onto the streets of Tottenham Court Road. In total, 322,000 gallons flooded the town, and 8 people drowned in the beer. To this day, the incident is referred as the London Beer Flood. Now, a lot of people might like this and might actually think, you know what, swimming in 300,000 gallons of beer, it'd be some people's dream. But be careful, because you may die. There's some absolutely insane ones in 5 ways today. Now we are going to drop in to the dark side of this podcast. Yes, we are dropping in some true crime, people. And today it is all about a killer from the UK called David Smith. Now this guy got away with his crime for 30 years. And he even got arrested for it, but then released. And then 30 years on, he got arrested again and finally sentenced. But to get away with it for 30 years and still live a good life after committing such a horrendous crime? Let's drop in today's dark story. David Smith was a lorry driver from Hampton in Middlesex. His home was in Markhole Close in Hampton, where he lived with his mother. He had been married but went back to live with his mother after his marriage had failed. He had a string of previous convictions for offences against women, including rape. His record of sex offences dated back to the age of 18, when he raped a young mother at knife point in front of her 2 children. David stood 6'3", and he was obsessed with call girls. He had been cleared by a court in 1993 of murdering Miss Crump. A chiropractor secretary who made extra money working as an escort. She had been found dead in her West London home on Lady Margaret Road in Southall in August 1991. She had been stabbed to death and had been dreadfully mutilated. It would later be noted that she had been cut with a knife in almost identical pattern to Operation Scars by a woman Smith had previously been rejected by. He sliced open the pregnant victim down the length of her body, cut her breasts off and disemboweled her. Smith was originally acquitted by the jury in 1993 and was met with the horror and disbelief of the victim's family. Miss Crump's mother, Pat Rhodes, had warned everybody at her daughter's Old Bailey trial. She believed that Smith would kill again. He walked free to do just that. Murdering sex worker Amanda Walker, aged 21. Defiling her body and dumping it near the Royal Horticultural Gardens in Wasley, Surrey, in 1999. On the night of that killing, he had been to an orgy at a brothel in Ilford. The party featured a love dungeon, complete with all instruments of sexual torture. Smith went into a steam room with the woman, but left without having intercourse, and drove to Wasley, where he would murder Miss Walker. Miss Walker had been on the streets for such a short time and may not have sensed the danger she was in when approached by Smith. She was picked up from Sussex Gardens in Paddington in the early hours. Earlier in the night, he had attended an adult party and claimed that he felt left in randy and was looking for a bit of fun. So drove to Paddington Red Light District, where he picked up Amanda Walker. Witnesses spotted Smith picking up Amanda near Paddington Station. Her blood-soaked clothes were found near Smith's home in an alleyway in Handsworth, West London, later that day. Walker was then classed as missing, so the police set up an aggravated missing person inquiry. 6 weeks later, her naked body was found many miles away in the gardens of the Royal Horticultural Society. Her body was so badly decomposed that a pathologist could not be certain on the cause of death, but the mutilation made it clear that it had been a result of foul play. Reports on the mutilation of the body led to the press to compare the murder to a Jack the Ripper killing. Smith had already been arrested by the time the body was discovered, as police had checked the database of local sex offenders and found that Smith's DNA matched exactly to the blood found on Walker's clothing. But while in prison, Smith got a bit silly. He then started to boast of the murdering and mutilating of Walker to his cellmates, who then informed the police. At his trial in 1999, Smith put forward the same defense that he used in the Crump trial, claiming that he had met up with her and engaged in sexual acts, but then left her unarmed and did not murder her. He claimed his blood being found on Walker's clothes was the result of him tripping and hitting his face on the pavement after leaving the party earlier in the evening. This obviously causing him to bleed on her when they met up. The jury did not believe his story and convicted him of murder. In his final remarks, the trial judge noted that Smith had shown no remorse, stating, "You are extremely dangerous to women and clearly will remain so." The detective also stated directly to Smith that you are a very dangerous man. And in May 2023, Smith was retried for the murder of Sarah Crump under double jeopardy. And this time, he was found guilty. Meaning that Smith got away with that murder for over 30 years. Now we're going to drop into the world of robberies. Something which you probably hear about on a daily basis, that something has happened at the local store, or someone's been pulled over and the car's been stolen away from them. But this time I want to jump into something different. Let's go a little bit bigger and a little more bizarre, shall we? We're going to start off with the dime heist, which was worth hundreds and thousands of pounds. Almost a decade ago, there was a fascinating survey of 3,500 American drivers. They wanted to find out how much the average individual keeps in spare change and rolling around their cars. Now for me, I've got quite a bit of loose change knocking around in my car. While personal numbers came into the mere of about $22 of pennies, nickels, dimes, the grand total for all US residents tallied up to a whopping £2.4 billion in spare change. Now some people bat well above average, as is the case with one truck driver in Philadelphia. Instead of having the mere $20 in change, this trailer carried $750,000 in dimes. Yes. Now, not surprisingly, that would attract a few people, okay? Burglars couldn't resist the temptation. A group broke into the truck around 6 a.m., absconded with at least $100,000 in heaps of dimes. Now that is going to be some heavy cargo to carry, you know. Law enforcement officers of the city of Brotherly Love don't know how many robbers particularly there was that took part in the heist, let alone how they transported so much metal at once. But they did find a trailer of dimes scattered throughout a parking lot. Apparently, they were still tallying coins to calculate precisely how much of the shiny stuff had disappeared without a trace. And still today, they don't know who has stole that amount of money. That amount of dime, the heavy cargo on that boy. Wow. Now we're going to move on to the light bulb thief. Yes, you hear me correctly. The light bulb thief. Yes. And you can actually see this and witness this over on YouTube. Now this happened to a guy from Oklahoma City called Evan Saunders. He first reported light bulbs going missing from his porch that left many people in his neighborhood scratching their heads. I mean, it really would. Why would you want to go and start pinching people's light bulbs? There's no value whatsoever, really. Probably about a dollar, a pound, wherever you are. Not very expensive. So initially, this guy just thought it was just an isolated incident. It's not going to happen again, surely. So he replaces the light bulb on his porch, only to have them taken again, and again, and again. So finally, in an act of desperation, he installed a security camera to get a better idea of what was going on. Within a few days of the camera installation, he finally caught the light bulb thief in action. Now, footage shows a male who looks to be kind of checking out the property and checking out if anybody's home before he starts to grab the light bulbs. And also, this guy is so confident, he parks on this guy's driveway as well. So, what's the deal when it becomes to a missing light bulb? Officials still don't know, but some people on the Nextdoor app have speculated it's something to do with drug use. Now, I've had a little bit of a further look into this. And yes, this could be a possible chance that this person is pinching it for drug use, because meth users may smoke meth with a pipe, spoon, or carefully cracked light bulb. So that is probably why this guy is going around the neighborhood pinching light bulbs. And that, my wonderful people, is it for this episode. I thank you for listening. The support, again, has been absolutely amazing. So please, take care, look after yourselves, and I'll see you for the next episode, Under the Stairs. Thank you.